Hi, I'm Vanessa, and welcome to Tellers of the Untold, the podcast. I believe it's important to have a platform to recognize fragments of our past so that our story will be complete and that we as Black Americans can be truly united and reconciled with the country and with ourselves. The untold story this week begins now. Hey everybody, I'm your host Vanessa, and your co-host for today is Miss Charmelle. She was in our last episode on episode 13. So welcome, Charmelle.
Hey, hey now, this is Charmelle. And I just want to introduce this very special person today. Her name is Charcia.
Hey, Charcia.
Hey, hey, hey. She is officially born and raised in Columbus, Ohio. She's 31, mm-hmm. attended Columbus East High School, mm-hmm. Tigers, graduated from Ohio Dominican College, and then she went over to, you know what, I'm not even going to provide all that information. We're going to have Charcia bring the truth.
Oh, okay.
All right, Charcia. Okay. Well, welcome, Charcia.
Oh, thanks for having me, y'all. Yeah.
So today within our teller, as you know, is Charcia. But this special episode is talking to Charcia mainly about her as a veteran. As you know, that is a very important position. So, Charcia, can you tell us a little bit about your experience as a vet? You served in the Army, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And when was that?
I joined the Army. I should say I enlisted into the Army February of 2011.
What made you decide to go into the Army?
I was 22 years old, and at that point in my life, I was looking more so for stability, financial stability, more so than anything. I had already lost one of my parents, my mom, sooner than I had expected to, and I didn't really have brothers and sisters here that I was really kind of like leaning on. Family just wasn't in my forethoughts at that time. I just felt like I needed to establish myself somewhere. And so I joined the military.
Okay. Well, what year did you say that was around?
2011.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at some statistics now related to veterans. Mm-hmm. And what I see is from 2016, and tell me if this is about accurate for you when you were serving, mm-hmm. but so non-Hispanic whites, they say 77% of them served, whereas 7% of them were Hispanic, 12% being Black, and then 2% being Asian. It's hard. I know it may be hard to kind of get a percentage of when you serve, but how many Black do you think were serving around that time?
I would say that's probably somewhere around accurate. I don't feel like we were the majority at all. We were definitely one of the minorities there. We had some Asians, a lot of Caucasians, and there were some Blacks, but the Blacks that were there were more so the older veterans, the ones that joined back in the 80s and 90s. These people are moving out, mm-hmm. for retirement. So as far as young kids enlisting, when I was enlisting, it wasn't a lot of Blacks.
Okay. So are you familiar with any type of history dealing with veterans? Like, you know what I'm talking about?
I am just starting to really talk to my dad about how Vietnam was and when he came back. And that has been interesting. He was mentioning how when he did come back, he wasn't really welcomed by the Americans.
There's a lot of history from Vietnam. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was a televised war. Mm-hmm. So now, like, for instance, now you wouldn't know what's going on over there. You know, now per se, everything is kind of under the radar. But because there's such a significant difference from Vietnam being televised versus now, they were hated for what they did over there. But he said, you never know what they're doing over there now. And so they were judged, they were spit on, they were ridiculed for that. And so just hearing about that, the fact that that was something that he had to deal with, he was drafted as well. So it wasn't a choice that he made himself. Just not being able to come back and be welcomed as he should have been, along with his fellow comrades, is the history that I'm learning about.
So did you know all of this before you enlisted?
No, my dad was he's been very closed. And even now, it's even not that open about it when it comes to what he experienced. A lot of veterans want to talk to other veterans about it. They don't really like it to be broadcasted. Mm-hmm. And so for him to even tell me what he's told me, is a stretch. That's pretty huge for him.
So can you tell us any stories that you can remember that you saw or you experienced related to, like, any kind of racism, sexism, anything like that when you served?
Oh, definitely sexism.
But not racism, really?
I won't say that I have actually seen it. I haven't actually experienced that or even seen it for that matter, but definitely sexism. Because women are the minority in the military anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I've had instances where, you know, during fitness tests, I'm being counted for my push-ups and my sit-ups, and I have to do a 2-mile run under a certain amount of time. Well, sometimes men in the Army don't like for women to progress, or sometimes they feel like... I guess they don't want you to be ahead, get ahead. And okay. So I've had instances where a male soldier was counting my push-ups and end up stopping. He didn't count my push-ups anymore.
And why is that?
Because he didn't want it to be documented. He didn't want me to pass my PT test.
So was that just in general for females and males, or was that because of the color of your skin? Like, did they treat those that are Black, Hispanic, Asian differently as females, or you think it's really just literally female versus male?
For sure, I know that it's because of me being a female, and it could have been because of the color of my skin. But I'm not sure exactly what his intent was, as far as if he didn't like me because I was Black, or if he didn't like me strictly because I was female. But I really think it was because a lot of men just, it's a man's army. It's a man's military. And so anytime they feel like a female is going to get ahead, they're going to try to stop you from doing that.
So, Charcia. Mm-hmm. I am eager to know, what is something you think that we should know in your time that has happened, or an event that occurred during the time of, you know, while you were serving?
I think it's important. I mean, if I had to give you a question to ask me, I would ask, what were some of your challenges that has affected you, you know, for a long-term basis? Like, for instance, the military was a great value to my life, but there were some challenges, a lot of challenges that as soldiers we had to overcome, and some soldiers don't really overcome. We had suicidal rate is high.
Wow.
in the military because the environment is so confined and people feel like, well, once I sign up, I can't get out. I want to go home. You know, you're dealing with life. You're not only dealing with the world of the military because it's a totally different world from civilian. You're dealing with your personal issues too. And I don't think that people understand the processes of what it really truly means to be a soldier. And it doesn't mean, you know, what did this soldier deploy? You know, have you served, you know, in Iraq or in Afghanistan? Okay, well, maybe they do deserve some type of, I don't know, maybe they do deserve a voice. Maybe you should be complaining about what you're going through, but I haven't deployed. And that doesn't make me less of a soldier than anybody else because I still go through things that I've dealt with in the military, such as my friends as well. We deal with traumatic experiences that we still have challenges with today, like anxiety. That came from the military. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I think if I had to give you a question to ask me, I would say, well, what are some of the challenges that you've dealt with in the military and how are you dealing with them today going forward?
I'm also eager to know, like, during your time in the military and while you were serving, did you have those, you know, those that support in different things? I know you mentioned that there are some people that, you know, it's a big suicidal rate. I mean, is there, you know, I mean, with that statistic, you know, of being known that, hey, this is an issue. Do they have support and staff there in order to help?
I will say we do. There are people there to help you.
But do you feel that they're on your side?
That's the thing. And the people that are there to help you are also veterans. They're also soldiers as well. They're also your superiors. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So it's not likely that you're going to go to someone that's in the same kind of environment for help. It's not really something that we chose to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now, after being out, we have no choice.
Wow.
Because then you'll be dealing with it on your own, and then it'll be more of a challenge than it was before for you to overcome it or somehow find a way to manage it.
So, Charcia, I want to ask you about PTSD, since we're kind of like somewhat on that topic. I'm going to give you, throw out some statistics, and you tell me, I want to ask you about them. So I am going to give you some statistics dealing with wars that you obviously didn't serve, but then we'll go to what you were, that where you were actually serving. So I see that, and as far as the research is, that 84.8% of Vietnam vets were diagnosed with PTSD. That's a lot. So then there's another statistic that 20% of the military personnel returning from Afghanistan or Iraq has PTSD. Then here's a statistic that is overall to this current day, that 71% of female military personnel get PTSD due to sexual assault within the Army. First of all, did you experience any type of PTSD?
Yes, I did, but not sexual.
So you do have Do you think do you feel like everyone that served has some type of PTSD?
Yeah, absolutely, because there's levels to PTSD. There's emotional PTSD, there's sexual PTSD, there's like those really bad traumatic experiences where you've actually been deployed and you've seen people get blown up, or maybe you've seen a kid that's tried to kill you.
Wow.
There's just levels to it of what you have to deal with. And it doesn't matter the gender or the race. I think every soldier is exposed to at least something that they have to find a way to either overcome or try to deal with for the rest of their lives.
Okay, so the question is, you serve for this country, mm-hmm. which is amazing, and we thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. And thank all of you guys that are listening that did serve, and we thank you for your service. That is a lot, you know, to put in, mm-hmm. to know that you're mentally, like, something mentally is happening to you based mm-hmm. on the fact that you serve for this country. Mm-hmm. How do you feel as a Black female serving for this country, knowing the history of this country? Mm-hmm. Like, knowing that, well, one day our ancestors were slaves and that we weren't treated equally and all of that. Is that fine? Is that fine with you? And is it okay now that you serve because this is, you know, not the same America?
Right. I don't feel like it's right. And honestly, I'm just now scratching the surface on history, untold history, that I'm educating myself with. Because when I went into the military, I didn't know the history of, I knew what they taught me in school, mm-hmm. but I didn't necessarily know too much in depth about oppression and what African Americans had to deal with. And is this country really free? I didn't understand the dynamics of that until now. Like, now I'm well out of the military and looking back on this, like, wow, had I known that history, I'm not necessarily sure if I would have. I'm not necessarily sure my position as far as if I went in the military or not. I went into the military for an opportunity to excel and to have some sort of pride for serving for my country, not knowing the untold history of it all. So no, I'm not okay with what it stands for or stood for even before then, now that I know a little bit more than what I didn't know before.
So a lot of people feel that veterans are going to, you know, carry the American flag everywhere and be very, you know, patriotic, mm-hmm. whatever. Is that something that, is that a stereotype?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it, well, not necessarily to an extent. I think it just depends, because me on the, like, I understand the history behind the American flag, but my position now is like, I'm trying to recreate peace on this planet. I want peace. Mm-hmm. So when I pick up an American flag, I'm going to be trying to redefine my meaning of what it means to me.
Yeah.
And what I vision it for America to look like going forward, not what it has been. Because if we keep doing that,
all right,
we're just going to keep repeating ourselves. Exactly. And I'd rather not do that. Mm-hmm. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So kind of going back to the PTSD and all of that stuff, I'm just curious out there and anybody that is listening, what are some of these, like, benefits that you guys have? Obviously, I know you can go to school mm-hmm. for free, mm-hmm. or I guess kind of not free because you guys have already paid your dues by serving.
Right.
So were you able to utilize that by going to school?
Definitely. Okay. My entire undergrad was paid for from the military, and even I started my master's program last year in August, and so I would say about 5 classes was paid even with,
that
from the military. There's a lot of benefits that you can get. And you know, the seasoned veterans used to tell me when I was in, and when I say seasoned veterans, I mean the veterans that went in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. And what they tell me is the military is what you make it. And it is. You have to make the best out of it in any situation, even if you have a career in the civilian world, you have to extract the good. And so I don't have any regrets. Not that you asked me that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I have no regrets with joining the military. And I am proud for what I did do and for what my fellow comrades have did and those who are coming after us and those who have went before us.
Okay.
It's definitely something to be thankful for.
Okay.
And proud of.
What is your current position now?
So now I'm a logistician, still for the Department of Defense, but I still, it's, I'm
what
doing
does
the
that
same.
Mean?
Logistician is basically it deals with logistics. So any type of logistical support that you need as far as supplies at the military, that's what I do.
So that means even guns and all that, weapons and all that. Okay. So last question for you. What would you recommend to other people, black, white, female, male, serving? If your daughter would come to you and say, one day I would like to serve, what would you say to her?
Oh, definitely. I would say, if you want to serve, go Air Force. I love the Army. Don't get me wrong. I love all the military branches, but if I could have one Air Force, I would have. And there's a reason for that, because I feel like the Air Force just has extra benefits that I would have liked to have.
So like what?
There was just always a distinction. Like, for instance, this might be minor to you, but like even something as simple as the uniform for women. Army soldiers couldn't wear makeup, barely any makeup, no earrings whatsoever. You know, your nail polish had to be, somewhat of a neutral color. With the Air Force, even. I mean, there were women wearing earrings. That was major to me, because we felt like men. Yeah. And and so our feminine energy was just like, we wanted that. And that's simple. I'm just saying, I mean, there was a lot of different distinguishments between the Air Force and the rest of the military. Right. But we're all serving the same cause.
Yeah.
I just would say go Air Force, though. Oh,
good to know. I understand that, because I would want that ear. I would miss my earrings.
My earrings. Yeah, my mom told me never leave the house without them.
I need my hoops.
Yeah. So that really made us feel like, wow, we wish we had that. But I mean, they just always, I mean, their barracks, their defects is always the bomb. I mean, it's just, they are what we consider the most elite branch.
Okay.
So.
But no regrets, though.
No regrets for the Army at all.
So love you them. You are proud to serve in
there. Oh, for sure.
Okay.
For what I thought I was serving for at the time. And even now, like I said, I'm not going to look at the American flag as everybody else does. Mm-hmm. Understand the history. I got that, but I don't want to repeat history. Yeah.
So what can we do as black people, as colored people, or just minorities in general to help those understand what this American flag really means?
I would say we have to first come together and somehow let go of fear, because I feel like fear, for the most part, has been a hindrance to our growth as a community. And I feel like if we all came together rather than fighting each other, rather than blaming other people for whatever, if we all came together and enforced peace on this planet, I think we can get a different outcome.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Well, that is a great way to conclude this episode. Thank you so much for being our teller today. That was very informative.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Listen to our mom talk.